Stanley Foster, Reel 4. So we were talking about the Ardennes. Have you remembered any other incidents in the Ardennes now? Have you had a chance to think about it at all? You were telling me how cold it was. And
no, only that when this traveller got out, I took over and went up, and they said to me, wait till dark to go back. And I came around the other side, and I must have gone over mine. And that's the last I remember of the Ardennes, because they sent me back to Lille.
Yeah, right, okay, that's right. We've talked about the hospital in Lille and so on, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
So, when you came back to Britain, did it feel rather funny? You never had any contact with the people you were in Europe with again, did you?
No, I didn't know. Until they got started getting brochures from the I joined the Light Infantry down here.
Yes.
The association.
Yeah. Mm.
But then John Roberts started sending things out.
Oh yes, yeah, that's right.
And
so tell me about Nottingham. You went there as a driver.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the place like?
It hadn't been touched with war, and everything, the only thing you got there was floods. That's the biggest thing they ever got. But all the ATS camps were situated around there, Welford, and then there was Runnington, and ATS girls, and the men were all situated in town.
What sort of accommodation were you living in?
It was like sort of a describe it as a sort of a room made into a barracks, you know, just an ordinary mill room, you know.
Oh yes.
Made into a barracks, but the ladies were in camps. Some had camps, and some were in big houses, like the one at Wilford.
Right.
They were in big.
So what was the sorting office like? Was it in a mill building?
Yeah, it was, yeah, right down below where there was a parcel office, and it was alongside the station. And then you used to get the lorries, you used to go down underneath and fill up with the mail and take it to the station.
Oh, right, yeah.
And then they had four lorries for the canteen for the cooking, and sometimes you had to go on that for, and that was it.
It was a canteen lorry you drove.
Yeah, that was they had a big place at Wellington Park, and they had their own butcher's shop and everything. And we used to go to Derby then, three times a week to get ration to bring it up to Nottingham.
Right. So who were these canteen lorries serving?
We were serving all the various ATS. They had a big place in Nottingham, about 4 or 5 miles from the school. There, a big canteen. They had different shifts, but don't forget they was on 24-hour shifts.
Really?
So yeah.
And how many people were working at? Oh,
I would say thousands, because the army, it was the Royal Engineers and the ATS Army Postal Service, and say three shifts as well, and then there's letters and parcels.
Mm. Oh. So that was for all the army.
Oh yeah, British Army of the Rhine, and for. Yeah. Then, of course, you see they had postal services in various countries as well. Yeah.
Huge very operation. Big. So your wife was sorting, was she?
She was sorting,
that's
yeah.
That's where you met her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there weren't many men working there? It was more women, was it?
More women than men.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we were only drivers. It was,
right.
We just took over from the Royal Army Service Corps.
So you were spoilt for choice, really?
Yeah.
So where did you meet your wife?
One of the dances,
Oh, right. Oh, they used to have dances, what, in the Naffy?
Yeah, and we used to take, we used to use the lorries evenings, to take them, you know, to different camps for different dances.
Oh, you were allowed to use them?
Oh, you were allowed to use them.
Yeah. So you were there quite a while, weren't you? A couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right, yeah. And then they shifted from there to Birmingham.
The ATS did?
Yeah, the whole lot, the whole caboose.
Oh, the whole thing, yeah.
Yeah. Meriden they shifted to. Centre of England.
Right. So a lot of, I suppose, some of the other drivers, they'd also been to Europe, had they?
Oh, yes, there was a friend of the wife's, Graham, what's she called again? Dottie. Mm-hmm. In Exeter. Right. She married one of the men up there, and she lost, when did she lose him? About 8 years ago she lost her husband, and they got married in Exeter.
Oh, right.
And she's still in Exeter.
Yes.
And she come from Trinidad.
Uh-huh. Right, so there's, it was obviously quite a marriage bureau, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So, going back to when you were in the hospital in Lille,
mm-hmm.
When you got sent back to Blighty, mm-hmm. how did you get there? Were you evacuated, you know, as a casualty?
I came back on an empty LST craft, mm-hmm. a landing craft. And then
did you have medical staff with you? Or?
No, they just send you back, and then you go on to what they call the echelon, they call it. Mm-hmm. But you go into these various places, so they sent us down to Clacton-on-Sea, and we had little billets there, and you were in charge of a billet or something like that until they found out what job you can do.
Right. So did you see a doctor there?
See a doctor there, make sure everything else was.
Yeah.
And then they
give you tests.
They give you more tests and make
what
sure.
What sort
you,
of things?
Well, see if you could drive again and all that, like.
So what did they test? Your eyesight and.
No, just the hearing mostly, and. Then they take you to a window and they put on your army part one, A from A1 to B1. Mm-hmm. And then I said, they grade you down.
Yeah. Yeah. Were you upset at not being A1 anymore?
Well, no. It's a matter of fact, I think I got away luckily, really.
So what effect has your injuries have on you now? I mean, what effect have you carried?
I'm all right now, until I say I get in company, or get in with a load of, what I got, everything is, I can describe it, like wavy. Mm. If you get in a load of, you know, so I went into a pub, it's all like, supposed to look, everything's swimming like.
It's what, the noise?
Noises, yeah.
Oh, right, yeah. Mm-hmm. So do you think that's held you back at all, you know, in your work?
No, I don't think I'll be back like that. Just matter of thinking they couldn't do nothing about it. Mm. Mm.
Did you get a pension?
Yes, I got a 2 and 6 a week.
Did you? A bit more than that now, I hope.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what did you do after the war then, when you were demobbed? What was the demob process like? Tell me about that. Where did you have to go? You got a letter, did you?
Went to York, and then you
got your. Did you go to a barracks there, or?
You know, you just when you got all your clothes and everything else, and you know, you had the grey pinstripe or the blue one, and then you got your form, you know, to say you were on the reserve, and then you had to try to get a job. Luckily, I got a job as a driver for Dingles. That was in town here. But then again, that wasn't pensionable. And then luckily, I managed to get a job on the corporation, on the buses, which was pensionable.
Uh-huh. And you went on doing that, did you?
Yeah, for 33 years. Uh-huh. And then we married in 47, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. March the 12th, 47.
When you were in the army or when you were abroad, I mean, you must have met some of the padres, did you? Did you always have a company, you know?
We had a padre. Yeah, he was very, very helpful.
Did you have one when you were in Britain, say, at Faversham? Did you have one there?
Yes, we had a guy, I think he was at the service, one of the services there. Yeah,
do you remember his name?
No. He officiated at the cross. And
Did he do church parades, or did the
we did a parade into the centre, and then we did a homage, and then we planted trees.
Oh right.
Because they lost 400 men in England.
Yeah.
Before they went abroad.
They lost 400 in England.
In England.
How were they lost?
With accidents and training.
Really? Oh right.
400. Pulled that thing out.
Yeah. And that was at Faversham you did Faversham. That homage, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he went with you to Europe, did he?
No, he didn't go with that one. That was, I think that was a local padre from Faversham.
Right, not the army one.
Yeah, the army one.
When you got to Europe, was there a padre?
Yeah, you get there? Different ones. You get Church of England, theory, and...
What were you?
CV, yeah.
Yeah. So did he come around and do prayers or services?
Well, they did come around and you left evening prayer. Yeah.
And what would they talk about? Would they come and talk to you individually or?
No, I don't think so. Not unless you had any, you know, trouble, then you could call them. Mm. If you were, you know.
If people had problems, perhaps a problem at home or something.
Oh, then they could.
Who would they talk to? They talk to the padre or the officer?
I think they'd go to the officer first, and then you probably go for... But now they've got counselling, haven't they? It's a different thing altogether now. But there, you had to go to your own officer.
Right. Did many people have particular problems, you know?
Not that I know. You know, it's good. I mean, a lot of them kept themselves to themselves, didn't they?
Did they?
Well, yeah.
Because you were living very closely with a lot of people, weren't you?
Mm-hmm. They didn't. I think it's some of the things you don't share, innit? That's what happens.
What about the medical people, the RAMC? Before you went to the hospital, did you see anything of what they were doing?
No, I know it was a bumpy ride, you know. But they just kept me set up, and that was all. But,
so when before you were injured, you know, when you were in France and. Holland. Did you see any RAMC at work, you know, doing...
Oh, yeah, they were quite...
What would you see them doing?
Well, they would bring men back on stretcher and things like that.
What did you men think about them?
Well, I thought they were very good. I mean, it takes more to... In fact, I joined the Brigo when I came back. I joined the...
St. John's.
St. John's, yeah.
Did you see any military policemen during your service at all?
Only on, you know, on the...
On the roads?
On the roads.
Yeah, or directing traffic. You didn't see any anywhere else?
No.
Yeah. What did you think of them?
Well, they're their job, they're doing it, don't they? And every time you would see them otherwise, if they come after you, if you went on after them, they're illegal, like, you know.
Yeah. You didn't think of them as bully boys or...
I think if you went to one of their camps, you would find it.
Yeah.
They had a big one at, where was that again?
Oh. I can't remember.
Never mind, yeah. So, I mean, you met some Americans, didn't you? You told me what you thought of them and the Germans. Did you meet any other soldiers of any other country?
No.
The Canadians or Hungarians?
No, the Canadians were alongside of us. We heard a lot about their being shot by that.
What did you think of them?
Well, I mean, say they... I think they went mad after that lot, because they just shot them in cold blood, didn't they? Germans.
Did they? Did you think the Canadians were good soldiers when you were there? You know?
Oh, yeah. They lost a lot of men on the heroin one too. And that was the ironic thing, was they woke up one morning and you could just walk up on it. It was gone. Heroin one too.
Yeah.
The 43rd, the Duke of Cornwall's, they tried to take it. Other residents tried to take it. And then they woke up one morning, and the Germans are gone. And that was it.
They decant.
Hmm.
So, did you come into contact at all with deserters or people who
couldn't
take the stress of battle? Because some people were didn't they?
Yeah, there was. We used to call it Bomb Abbey, that's what you call it.
Did you see anyone go bomb happy?
I can't remember offhand. Because I think we saw it was they were quietly taken away, like, you know. I don't think he had the I think he had a different atmosphere this time than they had in the First World War. Because I think if you've got shells so long, there's as much as you could take, you know. And this is what happened, I think. Well, they used to call it shell shock, didn't they? Rather than...
That's right. Mm-hmm. So how stressful... Because you were in some long barrages, weren't you? How stressful did you find it? What did it do to you?
Well, I think you just got to hope everything gets all over and that's it. And you hope for the best. Mm. If you didn't give up hope, you'd never get anywhere.
The noise must have been tremendous.
Oh, the noise was, yeah. In fact, the noise was worse when you got near the guns, or if you were back behind where the guns were, that was quite, you know. The morning minis were the worst.
What were they like?
You could have your it was tea time, so you could get your tea. And you're... And then about six or eight of them would come over, one after the other. It was like a thing like that with the barrels, like that. They moo, moo, moo. And then you'd hear them come over. Whenever they were frightening. Mm. You couldn't...
Could you reckon where they were going
to
go?
Yeah, they were coming for us. Because it was right about, you know, lunchtime, you know, where you only have mess tins and things like that and try to warm them up. It was always dinner time or tea time, morning minis. Gosh.
I mean, it was the typhoons, wasn't it, that came over the Falaise Gap?
Yeah.
And
finished
off a lot of the Germans.
Mm-hmm.
Did
you
see what the typhoons had done?
Oh, yeah. They were sitting up there with their rifles in their hand, up in that valley.
Mm.
But it was the ironic part about it is that there wasn't a mark on them. You know, I mean, there was some were bloated, but other than that, there wasn't a mark on them.
When you came back to Britain, I mean, the war was over then, wasn't it?
Or mm-hmm.
it was over, wasn't it? Yes, you were back in Britain for VE Day. What did you think? I mean, there were a lot of black marketeers and profiteers, weren't they?
Mm.
Who'd stayed at home and made quite a lot of money out of the war. What did you think of them at the time?
Not a lot of me.
Were you aware of any in particular?
Well, no, in Nottingham they were trying to sell silk stockings there. Oh, but if you bought them, you found there was just swags, you know. a lot of them trying to do things like that.
Was there a lot of cheap stuff about, you know, offering things?
Yeah, yeah. Just,
what other things? I mean,
also, silks and things like that, trying to sell, especially in Nottingham, because, you know, that's where there was with the ATS and there, would go there, they could do it, see?
Yeah.
And they had the markets.
Uh-huh.
The worst thing, I think, is when you, with the food stuff, isn't it? See? On the food lodge we had in Nottingham, you couldn't take anyone other than, you know, qualified army personnel. You weren't allowed to pick anybody else up.
What, on your lorry?
On your lorry, so.
Yeah. What was the food like, I mean, at home, when you came home, as compared to what you got in the army?
Oh, a lot better.
It was better.
Yeah, because in Wilford, in the Wollaston Park, where they had their own butcher's shop, and they used to cut the meat up properly, and then they had they could do well. They had the proper stores partitioned out, where the wife was, it wasn't very good. They ate boiled potatoes every day, watery potatoes. They used to do their own cooking there. Most of the camp did their own cooking.
So you've told us about VE Day, didn't you? I mean, the war went on in Japan, obviously, after that. What did you think about, you know, the war going on in Japan and the way it ended with the...
Well, I don't think it could have ended any other way. So I think it would have gone on and on and on.
What did you think at the time about these amazing bombs?
Well, I think they only got what they, you know, they reaped what they got, you know, what they did. Because when you see what atrocities they done to our men, it was barbaric, wasn't it, really?
Because if you hadn't been wounded, you might could have been sent to the forest. Was that something you didn't, you dreaded, or?
Oh yeah, I would have. Don't think I'd like to have gone over there.
Quite a lot of people did, didn't they? Right. I think I'm getting near the end of my questions now. Or is there anything else that you'd like to say? I know you'll think of lots of things tomorrow that you wish you'd said. You know, any more stories or any more people you remember?
No, because I finished up in there, and you went on to.
Well, I finished up in same Palestine.
Palestine.
The war finished. Okay.
So what's the lasting effect the war you had on you?
Well, just the years, that's all. And
just
my years,
that
was all. And
do you think you're a different person because you went to war?
I think I grew up a bit quicker. We were only 19, I believe, 19. And I think you live, you know, for a bit of a better world and more tolerant than you can be. But I think you've got to give what a small mercies these days.
Do you think you learnt tolerance in the army?
I think so.
Because they were quite strict on you, weren't they?
And, oh, yeah.
You know, you had no option.
No. So. Take it or leave it, you mean?
Were you ever in trouble in the army at all?
Only that time when I went down leave to Bristol, and it was time to come back in. They were very good. They come in, picked us up, and took us back. And I had 7 days to feel punishment. Mushroom with a pack on. They're very good, though. They don't let you go like missing, like.
Right, okay. So, Stanley Foster, that's the end of Reel 4.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.